He did it! The greatest night in the history of Chelsea Football Club.
Dennis Bergkamp! Dennis Bergkamp!
Occasion Mourinho on the pitch, followed by Wenger. And it's not often you see this serious an outbreak of disorder in such a big game.
Hello and welcome to Red and Blue, the Arsenal and Chelsea podcast based in Cape Town. My name is Andrew Kerr, I'm an Arsenal fan, and with me in our dimly lit studio, I have to my right Jeremy Westwood and Nick Key.
That's correct.
Hello.
Chelsea fans. And on my left, Richard Boland, the Gooner.
Richard Boland.
Gooner! We're going to start off...
Should we do that again?
I think that was good. Let's start off this week with a sneaky, unbelievable goal from Richard B.,
Okay, great. So in previous unbelievable goals, I've kept a theme, and that's not going to change. So this theme today is the one and the only, the Arsenal.
Right. How this game works is Richard has prepared a speech, and in the speech it contains five truths, which he has wrapped up in a whole bundle of lies. And we have to determine what is true from all the fiction.
Points are scored for truth being correctly identified, and negative points if you incorrectly mistake a truth for a lie.
Correct.
The problem with this game is that Richard speaks nonsense so much usually, it's difficult to determine what is a lie and what's Richard just having mistaken an actual fact for
okay.
a lie.
Here we go. Arsenal are the most successful...
We never had to say it, that's why.
Arsenal are the most successful club in Europe. They have achieved many great feats in history. In 1896, Arsenal became the first football club to wear uniforms. In 1966, Arsenal manager Herbert Chapman scored the only goal as a manager.
That's tempting.
And Thierry Henry scored the last goal of the 20th century for the club.
Ooh. I'm gonna. Why not? Beep.
Which one?
Thierry Henry.
Correct.
Yes.
He did. He scored the last goal of the 20th century for Arsenal.
Wow. Superb. That's amazing.
In 1999 against Leicester, we won 2-0.
Yeah,
those were the days.
Yeah. Arsenal also known for the more technical achievements of the sport. The Arsenal groundsman invented grass. Before that, the sport was played only on gravel. They also became the first team to be televised in 3D.
True.
Oh, damn it, that has to be true.
That's yeah, be true.
That is
yes.
true. Nice, yeah, it was against Manchester United. And I think United won 1-0. Or maybe we won 1-0. I can't quite remember. But yeah, we were televised in 3D. I don't know how different that looks. I
can't wait for holograms to arrive.
I imagine, I imagine it's the same experience that if you were to go to. The camera angle where it's on top going down. I'm sure there's not much. There's not much parallax there or anything like that. So it probably doesn't look like anything. But I'm sure.
But the replay is pretty exciting.
When you're on the ground level, it must look pretty awesome.
Imagine they'll get like a coffee table one day that is like a hologram football field that you could watch sport on. That'd be amazing.
That'd be awesome.
Let's get a Kickstarter going.
Okay.
Arsenal football players attract the biggest amount of attention from the international celebrity scene.
Wow.
Ozil is friends with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, they're both German.
Walcott is friends with Lewis Hamilton.
Yes,
yeah, that must be true.
That is true.
Is it?
They're like brothers.
Who said that first? I think it was Jim.
I'll claim it, yeah.
Yeah, it's Jim. And Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is mates with the Ninja Turtles. Before the almighty Wenger took the stand of Arsenal manager, it was quite difficult to find a manager in the old days. They had to advertise in the newspapers and on the radio. Radio adverts advertise a 35% staff discount for Arsenal shirts and merchandise if you were appointed as the manager.
True.
That is incorrect.
Just wanted to get on the scoreboard either way.
Made that one up. And a post in the newspaper read, "Gentlemen whose sole ability to build up a good side depends on the payment of heavy and exorbitant transfer fees need not apply." And that is still true today. Aaron Ramsey won the Ballon d'Or more than any other football player in the world has won. It's an incredible achievement, especially considering his goal drought in 2011-2012 season. His three goals that he scored that season coincided with the death of Bin Laden, Steve Jobs, and Gaddafi.
Well, true. I think that is true.
That is true. Yeah, apparently it's quite a scary fact where he scored. I don't know if that was the right season. I just kind of made up the season. But in one season, he is having such a goal drought that every goal he scored coincided with a famous person's death within a day of him scoring. So yeah, he scored. I had like all the full stats here, I read the full stats, but I can't remember them now. But yeah, it was interesting that literally within a day of him scoring those goals,
he was like
a famous person died.
Like an assassin. It was a signal. That's what
I was about to say. It was like some secret organization signal when he scores, you kill him.
Mm. Yeah,
and that concludes my lecture.
That was brilliant.
Great lecture.
I love that last fact. That's amazing.
I can reveal the scores.
I've managed to smuggle one truth past the panel.
That is
which
correct.
Which was that?
Which was that there was indeed a managerial post in the newspaper saying that a gentleman whose ability to build up a good side that depends only on heavy payments and exorbitant transfer fees need not apply.
It's been a club ethos for literally a century.
That's amazing.
That's incredible.
Okay, well, in first place was Jem with 2 points. And
nice. Yes, please.
Tied second, I'll be in bowl. And Nick, you're on zero.
Just want to give other people a chance.
Well, we appreciate it.
No problem. It's a gentleman.
Let's have some Chelsea news.
Cool. So, huge game last weekend. Who watched it?
Liverpool-Chelsea,
that's correct.
Okay, I didn't watch it. I watched some highlights.
Okay. And from those highlights, did you pick up anything?
Cahill.
I did, yeah, handball. Yeah, handball.
Obviously. Obviously. Okay, so look, that is a handball. There's no...
there we go.
Done, we're done, yeah.
No two ways about it. Definitely a handball. But, you know, at risk of, you know, sounding like a...
bloody Mourinho nicking a living.
Footballing, you know, probably getting a footballing, like, stereotype. It's like, it happens to everyone. If you look in the United game, when that Ivanovic got tackled to the ground, like WWE style, we didn't get a penalty for that. So, and we would have won that game on that if we'd gotten that penalty. So, you know what I mean? Like, it comes back, swings around about.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, just about any way you like.
If I can jump in there. Actually, so I was listening on the radio this morning.
Cape Talk.
Yeah, Cape Talk.
Okay.
For the international listeners, that's a South African radio talk station.
It's pretty much self-explanatory. It's like a talk show.
It's like Cape Town
for old
talk.
People. Yeah. But you guys seem to enjoy it.
I love it.
I'm the only one who doesn't listen to it.
I listened to Adam Gilchrist, the UK report, on the way in today.
Sure. Wow, old. Old.
Yeah. So anyway, I couldn't hear the beginning of the talk or the conversation.
You're so old and your hearing is going.
But I only came in halfway when they were talking about introducing a direct link between a referee and a TV.
Oh.
It was for cricket.
Oh, was it?
I think so.
I thought it was for football. What? They went on to talk about football. So I thought maybe they were still talking about football.
Maybe I missed the end of it. So you know, like in rugby, where between the ref and the TV ref, you can hear, they speak to each other and you can hear it.
Oh, yes.
So they're saying, I think they were saying they'd do the same, they're going to trial the same thing in cricket.
Interesting.
I think, like, if it's going to happen in cricket now fully, like, that's two major sports that it's happening in.
Yeah.
Like, surely that's going to put pressure on FIFA to start introducing the same thing, at least, like, a post-match review or something like
that. Yeah, well, the interesting thing is, it's funny enough, the whole technology debate in football has been very, you know, under very stark, what is it? Everyone's looking at it. Yeah. Jeez, I'm so early in the morning, I'm so tired.
Very stark naked.
Yeah, ball. And it's because our first goal was the goal line technology in the Liverpool game.
Oh, really?
It was one of those ones. Came
in, yes, he caught it.
Costa headed it down.
I saw that.
He made a great save, pushed it out to Gary Cahill, who kicked it back into his, he kind of held it, rolled back over the line with it, and then immediately came out again.
Yeah.
And honestly, the linesman didn't flag for a goal.
Yeah.
He thought it wasn't a goal. The referee didn't know. Hidden thing. But the beauty of that technology is that immediately gets a little signal to his that watch on his arm, and it's a goal, and he just blows it as a goal. But the and the beauty of that is also that it stops. Like, no one complained. Everyone just was like, okay, well, that's it then. Not even Liverpool complained. Do you know what I mean? Whereas if a ref had made the decision, one of the teams would have swamped him. Because if he'd said it was a goal, Liverpool would have gone, no, never, and run to him. If he said it wasn't a goal, you would have had Terry in his face.
But like, I mean, I don't understand these half measures. So you've got goal line technology, which is awesome and is working.
Yeah.
But then they don't implement the fourth official having any say in the match, and there's no referrals, linesman can say, look, let's just have another
look. I think the difference is the goal line technology doesn't slow the game down at all.
It is
a goal straight away on his watch, whereas if you have to stop the game and watch a replay, like, it does slow the game down. But then that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think that is part of the reason why.
I think then, like, then the next obvious step then is post-match review, like, because that doesn't slow the game down, the game's finished.
But you can't change your goals.
No, but you can then cite players.
Like, for citings, yes.
Yeah, for instance, like if someone...
But they do that already. Well, the ref doesn't see it, you can get cited.
But I'll tell you, like, I mean, for the... for instance, for the Aston Villa-Tottenham game, Benteke and Mason basically ended up in a scuffle on the side, and the ref only saw Benteke and he got a red card for it. And it changed the game. The Villa were 1-0 up and Tottenham came back to win 2-1 after that decision.
Yeah.
Now, as far as I can read, Mason still hasn't got a red card, even though the replay show that Mason headbutted or pushed Benteke's face first, which Benteke reacted to. Benteke got a red card because the ref only saw that.
Yeah.
And like,
I think that is a deficiency. Because he saw Benteke, he had been adjudged to have seen the incident, and so then they couldn't rule on it afterwards.
They kind of tie their own hands a little bit.
They do.
It doesn't seem like they're...
They don't like doing work.
Yeah, that's true. But I think what we can hope for is that there's been a number of occasions since they've instituted goal line technology where people have gone, geez, that was really helpful. You know, so one can only hope that they're going to look at this model and be like, okay, well, you know, we were worried about putting technology in the game, but it's actually been a good thing. Yep. Maybe we can trial this next thing. And it might just be a slower process, but at least it's something that seems like it's moving forward.
All FIFA need to do is just start in like a lower league and do it there and monitor how it affects the games and that type of thing. Do it for one season, you know, monitor how it affects the games. And then if it's working, bring it up to the higher leagues,
that's not a bad idea.
You're
gonna call Sepp later.
I will.
Let me tell you though, that free kick spray, that's working perfectly.
It is working quite well.
It works really well.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm not. Well, I sort of am, but but it is actually working really well.
I managed to get in the World Cup, I can't remember who it was JP, I think. I managed to get my digs made with that same joke about how the ref's carrying pepper spray. the players are getting too violent.
But now, carry on. Tell us a bit more about the game.
So the game itself was a flurry in the beginning. So they scored, I think that Emre Can sort of had a shot very early on, like maybe 2 minutes in, hit Cahill, deflected just wide. But a minute later, he does exactly the same thing, hits Cahill, but this time deflects in. So, Courtois, I mean, you can't tell, it was so far out.
Yeah.
He took a shot from about 30 or 40 yards out. Cahill's on the edge of the box. It's kind of going top left. Courtois going that way. Whether or not he would have saved it if it was going top corner, who knows? Anyway, deflects off Cahill and goes top right. But Courtois' movement's the other way. So, nothing he could do about it. That was a goal. So, that was about 3 or 4 minutes in. And then the Cahill goal line technology incident happened about 9 minutes in. So, we equalized pretty quickly. And from that point on, I think the stats will show Liverpool had a higher percentage of possession for the rest of the game, but
that's kind of to be expected.
Yeah, because they're at home. But we just seem to be doing so much more with the ball. I don't think there was ever really a big threat again from them. They didn't have any big shot on goal. But not surprisingly, you know, with having some players out, etc. We'll get to that now. But and then second half just seemed like we were a bit more in control. My worry was that after Costa scored, so it was great to see Costa back and he scored in a big game. So he's got the BMT. He's just, really loving watching him play. He scored off a piece of fantastic work by Azpilicueta. I don't know if you saw the highlights for that.
I don't think I did.
Azpilicueta got it on the left, obviously. So he's originally, he's meant to be a right back, got it on the left. took it right to the touchline and then sort of jinked past the defender, cut inside, ran to the byline and just crossed it right across the box. I think either Mignolet tried to push it out or it hit someone and sort of deflected back just to the, just out of like to the, you know, almost to the penalty spot but a bit to the right, and just happened that Costa was there with no one marking him and just banged it in. But it was fantastic play by Azpilicueta. Anyway, for the rest of the...
Yeah. I just want to say Azpilicueta is quite an amazing player to be playing on the as a right-footed right-back, playing on the left, and looks like a natural.
And
it's quite amazing.
But who was it? I think Carragher and Jamie Carragher and Gary Neville were doing some sort of analysis the other day, and they were saying they think that he's the most complete defender in the league at the moment.
I was battling with Bellamy. Wasn't it?
Carragher and Bellamy? Maybe, I'm not sure. But it's interesting to have a player playing to be said by the pundits to be the best defender in the league, and he's not even playing in his best position.
Yeah.
So, or maybe, I mean, I don't know. Like, who's to say? Because maybe it is his best position now. Maybe he's not.
It's just unusual to have a right-footed player on the left. Because it's a bit awkward, and they tend to come inside more to get, you know, to get the ball on the right side and things. And he doesn't do that.
But I also saw a very interesting thing about our defense. So they said, like, we've got probably one of the cheapest defenses in the league. Because Azpilicueta was like 8 million. Ivanovic was like 7 or 8 million.
Terry's
homegrown. Cahill was also like 8 million. So we've got like a really cheap defense, but they all just are really good. So I think we're very lucky that way. But getting back to Liverpool, I think this season has shown them up for having been a one man team last season. Suarez was that team, and when Suarez wasn't there, Sturridge was there to pick up the slack a little bit. But I also think that Suarez made Sturridge look better. But you can see how evident it is now that their whole attack is just blunted now that Suarez is gone. And luckily for us, Sturridge was injured. What are your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, I think I completely agree.
Well, we've become a bit like that now with Alexis.
You guys have, to be honest with you. I was going to say, what are your guys' thoughts about that? Because it's almost like every time Arsenal has a game and you have scored a goal, it's almost guaranteed to have been Alexis.
I mean, it's also quite funny in the fact that, like, Alexis didn't have the greatest game, and to be honest, he was just at the right time in the right place. It wasn't like he made the goal.
Yeah.
It was just kind of a...
But he's a finisher.
Yeah. He made sure that it went to the back of the net. Yeah.
He's like Van Nistelrooy in his finishing. He just finishes well.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe we can go into Arsenal news now. Yeah, like, it is horrible watching Arsenal at the moment, especially when you have... You never think that you can be more clever than Wenger. You know, you think he's had like 20 years experience managing, and like it should be a no brainer that he can make some decisive calls. But I mean, there's some things which are just so obvious that he needs to do. Like, and you read through comments, and everyone says the same thing, and you just wonder, like, okay, well, why are you not doing that then? And the obvious one is just our defense, like. Like playing Chambers, who's getting smoked on the right, and he's more of a natural centre back or defensive midfielder. Yeah. Like, and you put on someone like Bellerin or someone like that who is still quite a raw, but perhaps can match the pace to like guys that are attacking on the left flank.
Yeah, it's strange playing Monreal in the centre and Chambers on the right when Chambers is central defender rather than a right defender.
I mean, this is the state of our defence, is that Wenger would prefer to have Monreal on the field, who's more experienced than, say, Bellerin. But the fact is that we've got him and Gibbs, who are in the same position. And you can't play them... I mean, you can't play two left-backs. That would be exciting, though. But our defence is not looking strong. However, we started the game with Flamini in the middle, and for all his faults and for all his red cards, he really does hold the midfield together. Like, he does. Him and Arteta, when Arteta is fit, it's like so much stronger. But let's talk about the goal. Alexis scored again, and it was off a really nice move. I think it was a Chamberlain who pushed up the right and then managed to get it, cut it into Welbeck in the box, who held it up and basically just popped it in front of
Sanchez
and he scored it. Welbeck, great goal. Sanchez is always in the right place at the right time at the moment.
Yeah, and the fear that I have is the fear of all previous seasons where because Alexis is pulling the team now, if he pulls it, you know, I think his contract... You know, obviously won't end this coming January, but For instance, say we don't make Champions League, you're going to have all these players. Like, Alexis will get snapped up within a day of the transfer market.
Yeah, he's really
like he'll, you know, if we don't make Champions League. So it's so vital that Wenger, like, spends now in the January window so that we can at least, like, salvage another fourth spot.
yeah, I mean, it must be quite frustrating for Sanchez to come in, scores a goal or two, gets your head, and then inevitably, like, someone cocks it up and you go behind or draw or something. And
But the team that he's signed up for is, like, so different to the team that's playing now. Because at the time, we had a strong defensive outlook. We still had Koscielny, we had Debuchy that was still in play.
Yeah.
I mean, our defense is in a shambles now. He's playing basically with a team. And our midfield is completely useless at the moment. But I just want to go back to Wenger and some of the decisions he made. And it was kind of subbed up, summed up with the subs that he made.
Subbed up with the subs.
Subbed up with the subs. So, I don't know if you guys know, but basically, he took off, after 70 minutes, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was too late. But anyway, he took off Ramsey and Flamini and replaced them with Jack and Theo. Okay, so that's okay. It's kind of an attacking substitution. I mean, Theo is coming back from injury. He didn't feature at all that game. All that Jack did was moan at the ref.
I mean, Theo did have that one chance where he tried to take it on his chest and he had a horrible touch. And like that, if he got that properly, he probably could have finished. Made something else. But yeah, I mean, surely bring on Podolski.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. So then for the third sub, okay, this is now close to the end of the game. We're trailing. Mm. We need a goal. We have a World Cup winner sitting on the bench, Podolski.
Mm.
And who does he choose to sub for Chambers? Yaya Sanogo.
Oh, man.
Yaya Sanogo. He has not scored a goal yet. Still. It is like pelting with rain. It is perfect German conditions. And he leaves him on the bench.
There must be like some personal feud that Wenger has with Podolski.
But I mean, in the reports, so both Podolski and Rzycki basically came out. They wrote to the newspaper. I don't know how it works, but they get interviewed. That's the one.
They wrote into the newspaper. Your editor.
Yeah. Give us an interview.
I have some startling news for you.
I have asked myself some questions and answered them to save you the trouble.
My favorite food is lasagna. No, so anyway, so they were interviewed, and both of them said they're on good terms with the manager and just have no idea why they're not being played. Well, what was interesting about the Rzycki interview is that he says he's still in the top five fastest players in the team. I mean, he's 34, and he's like, you know, he's fit and well, and he's not being played. Yeah, exactly. anyway, so it was just a very strange substitution and just a bad game all around.
Well, speaking of World Cup winners on your bench, we've got Andre Schürrle, also a World Cup winner, set up the goal of the one, the final, and also hasn't been playing. There's rumors that he's been like really sick for a long time,
fatigue and
stuff. But then, so there's reports came out this week that, you know, they were looking to maybe sell him now.
Oh, wow.
Wanting to sell him to Dortmund. I don't know how true the reports are, but they came up on
just kind of rumors about Dortmund being interested.
Yeah, so. But I mean, if it was spoken in the same breath as like basically swapping him for Marco Reus, which would be like, I would be sad to see Schürrle go, but if it meant getting Reus, that would be an amazing switch. But and it is also just sad because Andre Schürrle is probably. He's like the new David Luiz in terms of how much he loves the club. You know, like, he's the guy who, you know, is giving interviews going like, oh, I just want to beat Tottenham so that our fans can laugh at their fans in the street. Like, you don't get players who, like, feel that kind of thing so much, you know, but it's awesome.
I think it's the Germans. We just love the Germans.
Yeah, the Germans are great. They are great. But on to some other football news. The African Cup of Nations, meant to be hosted in Morocco. Morocco has now withdrawn their...
Withdrawn, and they are now not competing.
They got banned.
Well, they didn't qualify. They didn't actually qualify for the competition, so they only got hosts. They qualified as hosts,
much like us for the World Cup.
Exactly like that. So
people are just banning everyone at the moment.
But over fears about Ebola spreading. So that's why they closed it. Because they thought, I mean, obviously, if you have a big African Cup and they've got people traveling from all over the continent,
yeah.
chances are somebody is going to, you know what I mean?
Incontinent. So where's it going to be?
Well, I haven't...
Can we take it again? Know. Look, we'll take any football
well,
tournament.
Yeah, I mean, look, in some sense, that would be quite sweet. But if the risk is that bringing Ebola... I don't think it's quite
football
worth
tournament,
it.
Ebola.
Yeah.
It was the World Cup, I'd take it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd take the risk.
I just wanted to quickly mention the Swansea player, it was Barrow, who scored their first goal.
Veal Barrow.
He scored it off a free... It was just an amazing free kick. Like it was
Gibbs
Gibbs made the tackle basically too late tracking back.
It wasn't a,
and fouled him on the halfway.
Yeah, but it wasn't like you know, most defenders will take their tackle. It was a very, very attacking threat, that player.
Yeah.
And for Gibbs to make that tackle, most people go, take one for the team, the yellow card.
No, absolutely. No, he was right to make it. I was saying he should have made it earlier. But but the goal was spectacular. You can't fault it. You know,
yeah.
It totally sold Chesney.
I had some Arsenal news that I saw. the first was I saw rumours that one of the Beckhams is potentially signing for Arsenal.
This
Are
is
you
true.
Excited
yeah.
about that?
Victoria. Very, very excited. Very excited. It's going to be good to have Wenger giving Posh Spice some... No, wait. What's his name? Brooklyn.
I think it's Brooklyn.
Yeah, I think it's Brooklyn.
He, apparently he snubbed... Man United, and I think
us.
Even Liverpool and Chelsea.
He trained with us for a while.
I think he did, yeah.
Well,
he even came to one of our little training things. Didn't dig it, apparently.
No, I mean, you know, the Emirates is it's class.
He loves the Arsenal.
He does. He does, and we'll welcome him and all of his sponsorship money, I guess.
I wonder why he's being shipped around all the London clubs.
Well, maybe he wants to live in London rather than Manchester, potentially, while you're
but
growing up.
But where do they live? Don't they live in LA?
Probably.
So why didn't they ship him off to LA Galaxy?
He probably goes back for the weekends or something.
With his dad on the weekends, just flying across continents.
But it's quite. I mean, it's quite strange that they're such a. I mean, why does he? How does he have talent? Like, it's not a sure thing that if your dad is a world class footballer and your mom is a supermodel, that you're going to be good at football.
Well, maybe they're just seeing which one is.
Oh, see,
if it doesn't work out this one, they've still got time to get him onto the catwalk.
I've seen photos. I don't know if he's cut out for it.
You can sing the national anthems in the beginning.
No, maybe he's training for being a new Gunnosaurus.
I do.
Also,
think
I did see a good comment that maybe you guys should put Gunnosaurus in the defence.
Oh, man.
Because he has a squad number and he's got a bit of height, too.
I just worked out that's your mascot. That's pretty
yeah.
But they, but I mean, look, the thing is with kids and stuff, Kerr, is like a lot of players who are good players, they end up having this, you know, like Schmeichel was a goalkeeper. Now his son, Kasper Schmeichel, is also a top class goalkeeper. You had
Frank Lampard Sr.
Yeah, so Lampard Sr., Lampard Jr. I mean, the whole family was footballing. Even Jamie Redknapp, the cousin. Yeah. You have Wright Phillips and his dad, somebody Phillips. No, Ian Wright.
Ian Wright.
It was Ian Wright. It was your guy. Mr. Phillips, yes. It wasn't actually that. It was Mr. Wright. I was just trying to remember which one it was. Anyway, Sean Wright Phillips and his dad, Mr. Wright. I think it was Ian Wright.
Where's Sean Wright Phillips these days?
He's at QPR. He's at QPR, but he's not even making the starting 11.
Crazy.
Yeah.
We bought him for 14 million?
I just remember one goal, him and Crespo. That's all I remember. He just drilled it in from the right. Crespo smashed it in, top corner. Brillos. But yeah, so I think there is a bit of a history of players. It does run in the family to some degree.
Jeremy, have you seen that new Puma advert?
I have seen that new Puma advert. It's pretty amazing.
Explain.
So it's an advert. I'm sure all of you who have watched Arsenal play in the last few seasons have seen the struggles that Wenger's had with his zip.
Oh, man.
they're just
tricky things.
In his ridiculously long coat.
Yeah, geez, that thing.
Sleeping in his sleeping bag.
Yeah.
always getting stuck. And now Puma, who are designing their kind of kits and things, have brought an advert for their new long coat, focusing on the zip and how it's not going to distract Wenger. And it's kind of got Wenger there looking a little bit awkward, kind of zipping up his... his thing.
So did he buy into the joke?
He's
but I just can't wait. I can't wait for him to walk out with one of those people things, and then for it to get stuck.
It's gonna be
a great moment.
He has struggled with a lot of inverted commas new technology, like new zips technology. And water bottles.
At post-match analysis.
Yeah.
The stats.
So this week we've just got a very short a stat for this week.
Cool.
I've decided to revisit. I got hold of a whole lot of data. And decided to analyze it quickly.
Sure.
Data.
Wow. No, it's different.
Tomato. I don't know.
Tomato.
So I decided to revisit the corner because I think when we left it last time, we had a bit of unfinished business.
you went and sat in the corner.
Yeah.
I decided to revisit the corner. My thinking corner.
And so last time we saw it last season.
I think about that stat every time I watch a football game now.
Yeah.
The 2 points.
Well,
I'm just like, what a waste of time.
Yeah, every time we take it a corner, I'm not even worried anymore.
So last time we saw that last season, 2.88% of corners resulted in a goal.
Yeah.
So with this data, I could do slightly more complex things, and I looked at how many corners result in a goal inside the next 30 seconds.
Oh, wow.
Which, unsurprisingly, brought the total up a little bit to 3.64%. So it's a whole percent more.
Yeah.
But still not amazing.
Game changer.
Yeah.
So then I thought, because I remember Bolly asked in the podcast talking about corners, he asked, well, what about short corners? So what do you guys think about short corners? So when the guy takes it, instead of crossing it in, he passes it to somebody nearby.
Oh, man.
What is the opinion?
I'm going to say this. I have to assume it's going to be higher.
I actually think it's going to be low. I think short corners are
effective. That's the thing is, you would think that corners would be more. They're not. It's always inverse of what you think. So I think
I think it's inverse of what you think.
No, debate. So I think it'll be higher because my theory is that they've set up in the box for a corner to come in. The corner goes short, defenders then
panic
or they lose their shape because they are now trying to readjust for a different threat. Therefore attackers can find more space if that cross can then come in. So someone will run, the guy on near post will run out to block the cross. If that cross comes in, I feel like everyone has shifted. Therefore, they probably would be more likely to score. That's my theory.
Okay. I think the opposite.
Yeah. I don't know. I also think the opposite. Because you could say that for defense, but then you could also say that for attack in the sense of the attackers have a plan and they have like an idea. And when a short corner is taken, they don't know that it's been taken. Or something like that.
I always wonder how much of a plan you can really have.
They probably panic.
It's true.
And like, I think it's everyone panicking.
Yeah, well, let's find out.
Okay, so I was very much of the opinion. In fact, if you've watched a football game with me where short corners happened, you may have heard me say that never in the history of football has anyone ever scored a short corner.
Yeah, I have. I've agreed with you.
So I wanted to investigate that for myself as well. So I took a short corner. I looked at three.
You took a short corner,
and I didn't score from it. So there we go. Okay, it's closed. I interpreted a short corner to be anything where the distance that the ball. Well, I got three different distances where the ball travelled was first less than 20 meters, then less than 15, then less than 10.
Yeah.
So if it travelled less than that, I thought that's a short corner. And so I looked at over the last two seasons and this season's data, in which there were 9,000 kicks taken.
Mm.
So short corners, there were 739 corners that were taken that were less than 20 meters in distance.
Wow. Is that even into the box?
That is no. So that is, I try to make it so that it wouldn't be inside the box.
Okay.
There were a total of 20 goals scored from those.
Wow.
Which is a 2.71% chance of a goal. So it is slightly lower than the like general corner percentage, but it's not zero as I had suspected. and that if you take out the short corners, the normal corners then pushes the total up to 3.73%.
Wow.
So it pushes that up a little bit. And if you go down to 10 meters as your short corner distance, then that distance actually stays pretty similar at 2.7. So the distance between 10 and 20 meters doesn't seem to make much of a difference.
Well, maybe all those goals that are inside the 20 are also the ones that are just inside the 10.
It could
no
be.
Goals are getting
could
scored
be.
Between 10 and 20.
I could do that. I could have a look.
There must be, like, and maybe this is something you can look into if you're interested in it. There must be a sweet spot for corners. So if you've got information dictating how far the corners are, most of the goals scored, what distance away from the corner?
We could get a heat map for that.
Yeah. Also, funny enough, Fabregas touched on it in the post-match interview after the Liverpool match, and he was saying that they do. He said we train, we watch videos of goalkeepers. We know which goalkeepers are the ones that like to come out and catch.
Yeah.
He said his only goal is to make sure that the goalkeeper doesn't catch the ball.
Mm. Yeah.
To get in the box and make sure it's not close enough.
That's why he'll kick it to the halfway line. He'll never get it.
and so he was saying they know which goalkeepers are more likely to come out or not. And if it's a goalkeeper that isn't, he likes to put it sort of closer into the thing, into the center of the thing. If it's not, he pushes a bit further out. So it is actually...
So you do have strategy.
You do have strategy. And I suppose at that level, you do have the kind of control to be able to place across that, like, either there or a meter back. Do you know what I mean? Whereas I or you or maybe we just go like, if we can get it near the goal, it would be a win. So I think that is quite interesting. You never really think about that kind of stuff. You kind of just think here's a shape that we kind of think would work in the box. Just get it in there and someone will head it. The quiz!
Right, so we're carrying on with our Premier League table quiz, and we're in fourth place, the trophy position, and we're in Arsenal. I will say at this point that during Bolly's quiz, Bolly's thing, he used up one of my facts. So, maybe I'll just make it first finger to the buzzer.
Okay.
If you get that one. Right, question one.
Buzz.
No.
Damn it.
David O'Leary holds the Arsenal club record for what?
Goals.
False.
Appearances.
Is correct.
Damn it, I knew that. Yes.
Nick gets a point. The most appearances for the club with any guesses to how many?
281.
430.
693.
Well, Jem would get a point for that if I was giving points. Because it's 722.
Whoa.
From 1975 to 1993. That's crazy.
That is a lot of years. How many years is that?
It's a 20-year career.
Yeah.
18-year career.
18 years.
Yeah.
I suppose that is.
I suppose you could play from 18 to 36.
When Arsenal played Man United on the 31st of January 2010.
3D, buzz, 3D.
And the points go to Bob. Right.
So I wasn't even listening.
Question three. The most goals scored for Arsenal in a single match by one player was achieved by
Terry
Drake. How many did
Seven.
How many did he score?
Seven.
Seven is the right answer.
What?
Can you give me the game? Again, the team
Aston Villa
is the right answer.
What? No way.
Bob is killing us.
No way.
In my research,
did you really?
Pretty much.
If and you can describe every goal,
Don't think you might have read this. I don't know. What was Alexis Sanchez's nickname as a young boy?
Compadre.
And the clue I'm going to give you is that it's a it's kind of a small animal.
Donkey.
A ferret.
The ferret. Closer.
The weasel.
No.
Think about
him and like how
the
he
mongoose.
Is. How he is.
A meerkat.
He's not from Africa.
The dog.
El Dasi.
Wait, where's he from again?
Chile. Well, it's not really. Chile. No, the animal isn't really related to
A butterfly.
The panther.
No.
It's a small animal.
It's a small animal.
The hyena.
Think about how he is.
The cat.
Cat.
No.
The
chihuahua.
I'm not gonna give it to you.
The hamster.
No, it's more like outdoors.
This is great. I'm just going to name all animals.
El pigeon.
The skunk.
The pigeon.
The skunk.
The raccoon.
No.
The squirrel.
Yes!
Hey!
Right.
It's because of the tail.
There's a bit of a story.
It's the tail.
There's a bit of a story here. All young Alexis wanted to do was play football. But he was forced to take odd jobs like cleaning cars in order to help his family survive.
And hiding nuts.
He used to perform acrobatics and box in the streets for money. Because of his boundless energy as a young boy, he was known as the squirrel. But after he displayed great talent for football at an early age, he became known as El Niño Maravilla, which means boy wonder. Apparently he comes
from
very humble background.
The boy. What?
Apparently Sanchez comes from very humble backgrounds. And his mom was like a cleaning lady at the school where he went to school to try and make ends meet.
He went so to school to try and make ends meet.
Yeah. Well,
none more so than Ramirez, surely. I think his one was that he only went into professional football quite late. I think he was working on his uncle's building site, earning like £8 a day or something.
Yeah, well, Suarez too.
And then like
too,
2 years like later was like earning £80,000 a week.
Yeah, Suarez also a bit of an urchin. So we can get some stats on that, Jim, if you got time next week.
At the quiz.
That is the end of the quiz.
Who won
and
that?
I think Bolt Street, like he creamed you guys, basically.
That's true. I feel like he had inside information.
Well, I mean, he's an Arsenal fan.
You can also do your research.
I'm going to research loads of things. Like, oh, who's next? What's next week? I'm going to go look at...
It's probably Everton next week, isn't it?
Yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, it's Everton next week.
So. Sweet. I'm just going to go and research all the Everton facts I can find. James, I won't do that.
Well, that is the final whistle.
Whoop, that's the final
whistle. That brings us to the end of this week's show. You can catch this podcast on Red and Blue...
Podomatic.com
and at iTunes.
On iTunes.
Search for Red and Blue
Football.
For those of you who want to tweet us, you can tweet us your questions. Perhaps it's you can suggest something for Jeremy to look up in the stats.
Yeah.
You can suggest maybe a theme for the unbelievable goal, or maybe even
if you just want to reminisce on all the trophies that we've won recently.
Yeah, but please, yeah, tweet us at.
It's red and blue footy. Yeah, at red and blue footy.
Is that FOOTY?
Yes, that's correct.
Awesome.
So yeah, do that, please.
Yeah.
Our Twitter account has been pretty... I mean, I've been trying to tweet at international superstars.
Mm.
Surprisingly, no one's taken the bait.
It's a shame.
Yeah. I tweeted Podolski. Maybe that's why Wenger doesn't like him. He never replies to tweets.
Well,
Wenger's tweet. At Roma, please. And he just doesn't respond. So that's why he doesn't get on.
Okay, bye.
Cool, man.
Thanks very much for being here, guys. Bolly's already left, but we'll chat to you next week.
Will we? International break.
It's the lol.
Interlol.
For heaven's sake, it's such a waste of time. Okay, we'll chat
we'll
to you.
See you when we see you.
See you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I also want to put it out there to any listeners, if you want to send in your questions, perhaps it's for what... Blah, 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 blah. Perhaps it's for what Jeremy... You are, I can't see. For those of you too who want to send in emails... you can...
No, okay, shall I do it?
Yeah.
Do it. Okay. Okay, do it. You do it. Okay, but say, tweet us your questions at the Twitter account.
Okay.